So right now, it's a pretty exciting time for Sydney as our biggest film festival lineup is just about to be dropped around the corner on the 8th of May. So to get you excited about what's to come, we have the pleasure of chatting about something featured on said lineup entitled All Night Sin Love In, a film extravaganza. And by all night, I mean from 10 p.m. right through until 7:30 a.m. the next day. So I'm joined by Jenny to talk us through this event and her selection behind All Night Sin Love. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
So this event celebrates your 30th Sydney Film Festival, which is just an incredible achievement. I wanted to ask why you chose to commemorate your time at the festival with this kind of program.
Well, I wanted to actually look at the things that made me really fall in love with cinema, but also realise that cinema could be very different things. Growing up, cinema was pretty tame. It was mainly English, pretty Hollywood or UK. I grew up in England. And so going to London and seeing different kind of films, different languages, different forms, I thought this was a world of cinema I had never seen before. And for me, it was such an eye-opener. And I wanted to celebrate my love of cinema in that way. So things like David Lynch's Eraserhead, which was just mind-blowing when I first saw it, and I think it still is. I don't think it's lost any of its punch. Things like Oshima's In the Realm of the Senses. I'd never seen such sensuality and violence as well on screen. It's a kind of violent love, if you like. And Oh Lucky Man, Malcolm McDowell in a Lindsay Anderson film, which is totally surreal and wonderful. And then John Waters with Female Trouble, which is such wonderful trash spectacular. So it was kind of like a way of celebrating that cinema, but that kind of cinema that is just so different.
So you've mentioned the films that you're screening as part of the program. There's only four of them. So was that a really difficult process to try and narrow films that changed your worldview to just four?
I had such a long list and I kept crossing out, scribbling and shuffling things to the top and going, no, you couldn't watch that at 2 a.m. so that was really hard. And also there was many of the things I used to go to a repertory cinema in London. I mean, it was a big era for repertory cinema. And I used to go to all night Clint Eastwood and all night Steve Martin and all night comedy. And, they were wonderful experiences too. But for me, that didn't sort of say that was cinema that was different. So for these four films were really different moments for me. And of course, I programmed the documentaries at the Sydney Film Festival. So I haven't put a documentary in because they're just, for me, not all night things.
Definitely. So was it really difficult as well, talking about the curation process, in ordering them? As you mentioned, like you couldn't have that at 2 a.m. Was that a difficult process as well?
No, I think once I'd kind of got it down to the final few, the order was pretty easy. There's going to be little intervals and hopefully you'll have time to grab a beer and maybe a piece of chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. The cinemas in London at the time they seemed to think everybody survived off carrot cake or chocolate cake at all night screenings. So I think that's an important part of all night screenings is you have to have sustenance. And so I'm like, yeah, you can do that with the right amount of sustenance. You can get this mix of films and you can come out in the morning thinking, the cinema can be amazing.
Yeah, so obviously you've chosen the all-night format. Why was that your option rather than showing these films in succession across time? What do you think it is about this distinctive way of showing cinema that is so special?
Sure. So London in the early 80s, there was a lot of repertory cinemas around and they did a lot of all-night screenings. And so it was a way, when I was at uni at that time, a lot of people discovered cinema. There was barely video shops at that time when you think about it. So there certainly wasn't online streaming or anything. So this was the way that you could do kind of back-to-back movies. This was the only way you could do it, that you could really binge. And you could binge on things with a crowd of people. And there was something very magical about that. And I think film festivals echo that too. Sydney Film Festival, you know, at the State Theatre, people go all day and they come out in the intervals and they go, wow, that's amazing. What's the next one? And I really like that feeling. And I love that audience kind of sense that you're all going on the same journey.
Yeah, so because it's overnight as well, do you expect or anticipate that people will kind of build a community in between all the films?
Oh, I do hope so.
Yeah. And so as you mentioned before, you program the documentary, short films and First Nation programs for the Sydney Film Festival. Can you give us any hints what we might be seeing there?
Oh, all I can say is I think documentaries have had the most brilliant run in recent years. There have been, and people, you know, about 10 years ago said it's the golden age of documentaries. Well, I don't think it's petered or tarnished in the slightest. And there's a pretty amazing lineup of documentaries coming to Sydney in June. And I also think this is a very strong year for First Nation films. I love the storytelling that comes across, the different visuals, the different stories, the different cultural mix. And that's really important to the festival. It's also, I think, really important to our audience. So there's going to be some extraordinary things to see. I also think that the idea of having an all-night cinema in the middle of winter as well, there's nothing more cosy in June in Sydney than a cinema, I think.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Jenny.
My pleasure.